You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Let me have just a moment, Your
Honor. Okay.
What exhibit number is that, Mr. Wolf?
3. Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'm going to show a different exhibit until the other issue can be resolved. With the court's permission, it's Commonwealth Exhibit 3. Permission to publish?
Yes.
Mr. Wolf, could you highlight or enlarge the house as much as you can? Thank you. Ms. McCabe, do you recognize what's depicted in this photo? I know it's a little bit of an angle.
Yes.
What is that?
That is 34 Fairview.
Okay. Can you... I think this laser will work. May I approach?
Yes.
Can you use that laser and point to the front door that you entered when you walked in the house? Okay. That's directly in the middle of the just to the left of the flagpole for this purposes of this photograph, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there another entry door on the house that you may not be able to see, but you know the general area?
Yes.
Where's that door?
So that would be, or see where these two windows are?
Yes.
The door would be kind of behind that right there. So it's right to the left of those two windows.
And Ms. McCabe, just staying with doors for a second, mm-hmm. Is there another door associated with the garage?
Oh, actually, yeah, there is. Right there.
Right there next to that side door?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. You didn't go in the side door. You went in the front door that night.
Yes.
You indicated that once inside the house, you were... sort of in the kitchen area, is that right?
I was in the kitchen, yes.
You weren't paying special attention to Brian Albert or Brian Higgins, what they were doing. As a matter of fact, I think they went into a different room, is that right?
There's a room, kind of the kitchen opens up into the TV room, so they were in there.
So the only two that you recognized at this point in the night, not being sort of with everybody else, were Brian Albert and Brian Higgins, separated out in the family room or whatever that room's called, living room?
Yeah, I feel like just right there, you know, right where they are, just okay. Kind of right in the next room.
When you first pulled up, did you notice any vehicles in front of Brian Albert's house?
Yes, I did.
What vehicles did you notice? Vehicle or vehicles did you
just
notice?
Just one.
What was that vehicle?
It was a Jeep.
Can you describe the Jeep for us, please?
I really can't. All I can say is that when I pulled down, the Jeep was on the parked on the street in front of the mailbox, and I turned into the driveway.
Okay. Did the Jeep have any special features on it that you remember, that you can describe?
Not that I can recall.
Big giant snowplow on the front?
Again, it was dark. I didn't really pay much detail to it beyond I just asked, whose Jeep is that?
And did you learn whose Jeep that was?
I did, yes.
Whose Jeep was it?
It was Brian Higgins' Jeep.
And you said that it was parked in front of the mailbox, is that right?
Yes.
So as you're looking at the house, the mailbox would be closest to the driveway, is that right?
Yes.
Rather than, for instance, the flagpole on the other side of the lawn.
Correct. So if the flagpole's here, there's the lawn, and then here's the drive. I mean, here's the mailbox, and then the driveway's over here.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does to me.
Okay.
Thank you for that. You've previously indicated that the back edge of that vehicle, Brian Higgins' Jeep, was at the side, basically, of the driveway, which is what you've just described. It would be blocking the mailbox, the rear end associated with the driveway entrance, correct?
Yes.
Have you ever discussed having seen that Jeep in that spot with anybody else in this case?
Is that including previous testimony or?
It is. At any time, before you testified at the previous hearing, had you discussed having seen that Jeep in that spot with anybody else? For instance, your husband?
Objection.
Sustained.
Was there any other car on that curb line, if you will, other than the Jeep when you pulled in?
Not that I remember.
And Brian Higgins, if it's his Jeep, he's in the house, that Jeep's not moving, correct? So it stayed where it was?
Yes.
At some point, did you observe Miss Reed's vehicle pull up to the driveway? I'm sorry, pull up to the house.
I was told there was a vehicle outside, so I went and looked. Yes.
Where was that vehicle? When you looked that first time, where was Miss Reed's SUV?
When I went to the front door and looked out, it was straight ahead.
So that would be parallel, actually in line with the Jeep, correct?
Yes.
Directly in front of the Jeep.
I don't know the distance, but yes, you're correct. It was in front of the Jeep.
So if the Jeep was a normal, it's a full-size Jeep, correct?
I don't know what size it is.
Certainly the SUV is a full-size SUV.
Yes.
All right. So that would take up much of the room of the curb area in front of 34 Fairview, between the Jeep, assuming there's a snowplow,
right,
and a full-size SUV, correct?
I'm not really sure of the whole area, but there was the Jeep and then there was the car. I just don't know the distance between them.
You gave a description of the vehicles that were out in front of 34 Fairview in your January 29, 2022 interview with Trooper Proctor, correct?
He came to my house and asked me questions, correct?
When you gave that interview to Trooper Proctor, you indicated to him that you first observed Miss Reed's vehicle parked on the street by the driveway, correct?
I never said by the driveway, no.
So if that's in a report, Trooper Proctor got that fact wrong, got that detail wrong.
Sustain.
If in fact, well, let me ask it this way. What did you say to Trooper Proctor about where that vehicle was?
Miss Reed's vehicle?
Correct.
I told him it was straight out front, the window. The straight out front of the front door. Sorry.
Trooper Proctor wrote a report about his interview with you, correct?
Correct.
You've seen that report in other hearings, is that right?
Yes.
Your interview with him was on January 29th. Do you remember the date? I'm sorry, I just said the date. Do you remember the time? My mistake.
I don't remember the exact time. I'm assuming afternoon, like after 12, or I'm not 100%. Sorry.
You had been contacted by Trooper Proctor while you were still at 34 Fairview. Is that right?
Yes.
Ultimately, instead of coming from the Canton Police Department to 34 Fairview, you went home to your house.
I did.
The Country Lane address.
Yes, I did.
And Trooper Proctor ended up meeting you there, correct?
Yes.
And in addition to you and Matt being there,
mm-hmm,
Brian Albert showed up, correct?
I asked him to come.
So you asked your brother-in-law to come to the interview that you were having with Trooper Proctor formally in furtherance of his investigation surrounding the circumstances of this case, correct?
No.
But Brian Albert did show up at your house.
He did. I asked him to come, yes.
And he was inside the house when Trooper Proctor ultimately interviewed you, correct?
He was in the house, yes.
And you'd spoken to Brian Albert before Trooper Proctor had interviewed you formally, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Matter of fact, several times you had to have spoken to him at 34 Fairview. You've already said that, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, we were all there in the kitchen.
And then obviously you spoke to him about the interview before Trooper Proctor got to your house to interview you on the 29th as well, correct?
We were just talking about what happened. It wasn't in specifically about Trooper Proctor.
Right. Not about Trooper Proctor. You talked to Brian Albert about the circumstances of this case before you spoke with Trooper Proctor.
Yes, I had.
Do you remember exactly what you said to Trooper Proctor about the location of the SUV in front of the house?
I know what I said, yes.
Okay, what exactly did you say to
him? I said the car was straight out front of the front door. When I was looking out the front door, it was straight ahead.
Isn't it true that what you actually said, Ms. McCabe, is that you first observed the vehicle parked on the street by the driveway facing in the direction toward Chapman?
Objection.
I'll allow it. Is that what you said?
Those are not my words, no.
Okay, next question.
You've already indicated that following the events of January 28th and 29th, you have spoken extensively with your family and your friends, members of your family and that your friend group about what happened that night, correct?
Yes.
And that includes Brian and Nicole Albert, is that right?
Yes.
That includes Matt McCabe, your husband, correct?
Yes.
That includes Chris and Julie Albert?
Yes.
Includes other people that were there that night, including Brian Higgins?
I haven't spoken to Brian Higgins since, I believe, John O'Keefe's wake.
But you did speak to him that morning at 34 Fairview, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, he was there, yes.
As a matter of fact, he's the one that told you to call Officer Lank back and have Officer Lank come back for the additional statement that you wanted to give Officer Lank. Is that right?
He may have suggested it, I'm not sure.
So in those discussions that you've had with all these folks, you've talked to the details about that night being at the bar, the house, who was where, all of those things, correct?
Yes.
You've talked about the timing of the night, who arrived, when people arrived at 34 Fairview, when people arrived at Waterfall Bar and Grill, correct?
No, those really aren't details we discuss. I mean, everybody kind of knows when they came and when they left. We talk more about, you know, living with everything that we've gone through.
Well, what about on the morning of January 29th, when everybody was still in that sort of friends and family gathering inside 34 Fairview?
When I was there with my husband and sister and brother-in-law and, you know, then Brian's friend and Julie Albert, I was trying to piece together what had happened. They were all being supportive. They had no idea what happened. We were just kind of sitting there in utter shock, waiting to hear from Kerry about John. It was nothing more than just us being together and trying to figure out what had happened. I had gotten a phone call from Karen to help her.
And during that conversation, or those, mm-hmm. that series of conversations, you were sharing what your observations of that evening were, what your story was, how the evening started, how it ended for you, correct? Or the morning ended for you, correct?
We didn't, no, I'm not correct.
During the time that you folks were inside the house discussing this, there was no law enforcement agent or officer inside that house, correct?
Correct.
So the entire family and the friend network that we're talking about, with whom you discussed all these events, everybody was entitled to and did coordinate their statements without any separation and without any law enforcement oversight, correct?
I was with my family. My sister, my brother-in-law, it wasn't really a big group of us. As I've mentioned, I had 5 or 6 people. I was in shock. I didn't know what had happened. They were just asking me what happened.
And
questions like that, and I absolutely told them. But okay. It was no story. There was no us being allowed to do it. That was my family. They were just there with me.
But nobody was separated by law enforcement, correct?
I don't believe there was a reason to separate us.
Nobody. Well, notwithstanding what you think was the reason, you're not a professional investigator, correct?
I'm not, no.
You're not a trained investigator.
No.
You're certainly not a homicide detective, correct?
No.
None of you witnesses were ever separated, were you, that morning?
There was no reason to separate us.
I'm asking you if there was a reason, okay? I'm asking you whether or not, factually, anybody was separated in that house. Or is everybody allowed to talk amongst themselves?
I was with my family. We didn't need to be allowed.
Okay. Let me try this again. Was anybody in that house separated? Were the witnesses separated from each other? the family who are witnesses, were they separated from each other by law enforcement?
At that point, I don't think anyone but myself and Matt were maybe even witnesses.
Okay. I'm not asking you what your determination of who the witnesses are. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you whether the folks in that house were separated by law enforcement before you were able to have discussions about the events of January 28th and 29th. That's a yes or no question. Were you separated or not?
At one point, when Mike Lank was in the house, he had separated and talked to Nicole, then Brian, then Matt.
And then mm-hmm. He promptly left and left everybody in the house together, correct?
He left us, yeah.
Right. Nobody was taken down to the station, is that right?
No.
As a matter of fact, Trooper Proctor didn't even come over to 34 Fairview, the scene of the incident, to interview you, correct?
I asked him to meet at my house because I had to go home to my children.
And he accommodated you, didn't he?
He did, yes.
And he accommodated the fact that Brian Albert escorted you to the house for your interview, correct?
Brian didn't escort me, no.
Well, he went to your house at the same time that Trooper Proctor was there to interview you, correct?
He came at some point, yes, by himself.
Before Trooper Proctor did the interview?
I'm not sure if he was there, if he got there before or when.
Well,
he arrived.
You've testified in the past that
yes.
Brian Albert came to your house alone. I don't mean you came in the same car.
Yes.
But he followed you over to your house before Trooper Proctor ever got there. And he was in the house while Trooper Proctor conducted his interview, correct?
Yes, Brian was in the house for the interview.
Thank you. You've already indicated that you have been discussing this case with certain other witnesses, not for days or weeks or months, but literally for years, most specifically Carrie Roberts, correct?
The case in general, yes.
Just before Carrie Roberts testified at a grand jury proceeding in this case, you were with her, weren't you?
I don't recall what you're talking about.
Do you remember being at the grand jury?
Yes.
Do you remember testifying at the grand jury?
Yes, the one back in
April.
Yes, yes.
22?
Yes.
That sounds
it sounds about right, yeah.
Do you remember being there in an ante room with some other folks?
What's an ante room?
An ante room, a waiting room.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting mm-hmm. for your testimony.
Yes.
Do you remember Carrie Roberts being with you in that exact same ante room?
Yes.
And that was right before her testimony, correct?
I believe so, yes.
So, in answer to my question, mm-hmm. you two were together literally just before she testified at the grand jury, which was the first formal under oath testimony that she ever gave. Is that right?
Yes.
When she testified at the grand jury, was that before or after you two had gotten together and created this timeline?
We did the timeline right after John had passed.
So she testified, the answer is she testified after the timeline was created, correct?
Yes.
Brian Albert and his family had a dog on January 29th, 2022, did they not?
Yes, they did.
What was that dog's name?
Chloe.
What kind of dog was Chloe?
A German Shepherd.
Was it do you know if it was a purebred German Shepherd or a mix of Malinois and German Shepherd, or do you know?
I have no idea.
Big dog.
Yeah, good sized dog, yeah.
70 pounder.
I don't know its weight.
Wasn't a little munchkin dog though, it was
no,
a full size German
it's
Shepherd.
It's a full size, yeah.
On the morning that you described going into the house, January 29th, mm-hmm. 6:40 a.m. or so.
Mm-hmm.
You indicated that you burst into the bedroom to wake your sister and Brian Albert. Is that right?
Yes, I went into the bedroom.
It's still dark out, correct?
Yes.
There had been relative chaos on the lawn for a number of minutes, from about 6:10 until at least 6:40 when you went in. There were still emergency vehicles with lights on and engines running, and chaos, relative chaos, bedlam as somebody has said, on that front lawn, correct?
It was more on their side lawn and down the street, kind of like all the cruises, a lot of them were behind their lot.
Right in front of 34 Fairfield, correct?
To the side, in the side yard of 34 Fairview, yes.
And on the lawn of 34 Fairview?
Yes.
Where first responders were responding, correct?
Yes.
And you said my client was screaming to the top of her lungs, is that right?
Yes, she was.
And Carrie Roberts screaming back at her?
Yes.
Shut up or shut the fuck up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Then at 6:40 a.m., under the cover of darkness, you walked in the front door of the unlocked front door of Brian Albert's house, correct?
I went into my sister's house, correct.
It wasn't Brian Albert's house?
And Brian Albert, yes, I'm right. Sorry.
You then climbed the stairs up toward the bedrooms, correct?
Yes.
You walked into the bedroom door where Brian Albert and Nicole Albert, according to you, were sleeping. Is that right?
Yes.
So you would agree that you unexpectedly, in terms of their view, unexpectedly walked into their house basically in the middle of the night, middle of the morning?
Yes.
You indicated that when you went through their bedroom door, you sort of burst through, correct?
I opened the door. I don't know if I used the word burst.
You previously indicated that when you went through the door, it was chaotic because you were so amped up from the events. Is that right?
I don't know if I used those words.
Would you say that you were loud or quiet?
I think as I explained earlier, I was like where everything was going on around me, and I was kind of like in a state of shock. And I remember thinking, I don't want to startle them, but I have to wake them up, because obviously when I wake them up, they're going to be panicked and think something terrible happened.
Well, why didn't you want to startle them? Something terrible had happened.
I didn't want to give them a heart attack when I woke them up.
But you didn't walk up and just nudge them and say, hey, Nicole, honey, can you wake up? There's something we need to talk about. You didn't do that.
No, I was like, Brian, Nicole, wake up, wake up.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. But you weren't saying it in that voice either. You were saying, Brian, Nicole, get up.
I'm not sure if it was that loud, but I definitely was definitely like trying to wake them up, yes.
What was the dog's reaction?
I don't recall seeing the dog.
So, according to you, to the dog at least, if we can get in the mind of a dog, a relative stranger walks in the front door, climbs a set of stairs, the house is completely dark, walks into a bedroom door and starts barking, the person starts barking, get up, wake up, Brian, Nicole, and you don't remember seeing or hearing a dog at all.
Objection.
Sustained.
As you indicated, it's not that the dog wasn't reactive, it's that you don't remember the dog even being there, correct?
I have no memory of the dog, no.
But you do know that that dog sleeps in Brian and Nicole's room, correct?
It may, I don't know for sure.
The reason you don't remember the dog being there is because the dog wasn't there, was it?
I don't remember the dog.
Right. So when you walked out of the room, when you walked in the house, didn't see the dog?
No.
When you walked up the stairs, no dog?
No.
Walked down the hallway, no dog?
No.
Walked into Brian and Nicole's bedroom door, no dog?
I don't remember seeing the dog.
I realize that. Mm-hmm. Dog or no dog? No dog.
I don't remember seeing the dog. Doesn't mean it wasn't there or it was there. I just don't remember seeing it.
Well, you didn't. No dog came up to you and barked at you, correct?
No.
You didn't see or hear a dog whining or howling, did you?
No.
You didn't hear or see a dog scratching at the door?
No.
There's no sign of a dog at all in Brian and Nicole Albert's house at 6:41 a.m. when you walked into that house, correct? Or 6:40?
I don't remember seeing the dog.
And this was a 70-pound German Shepherd, correct?
I don't know the weight of the
dog. Have you ever heard the Have you ever heard a description given about that dog by Brian Albert, anybody else? That dog was not good with strangers.
I object.
System.
Did you know, as you said, you're very, very dear friends, and obviously dear friends with Brian Albert, relations with Nicole Albert, your sister, are you aware that that dog was not good with strangers?
Object.
Do you know that?
I don't. It wasn't good with other dogs is what I knew, so I could never bring my dog over there. That's all I know about the dog.
Right. Had some aggression, correct? At least with other dogs.
Possibly.
Possibly with other dogs is the answer next question.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you could remind the jurors, in your memory, who was the last person to leave the house 34 Fairview on the morning of the early morning hours of January 29th?
I believe Caitlin left after us, my niece.
Thank you. At some point, we've already talked a little bit about this. You said you looked out the front door glass. Was it a window or is the whole door glass?
The whole door was glass, I believe. Okay.
Is it like a, and pardon my ignorance, is there like a wooden door that is opened and there's a storm door that's all glass that was closed? Is that what we're dealing with?
I believe so, yes. Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, just a moment, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take one more glance? I'm going to back up for a quick second.
Okay.
Can we take one more glance at that exhibit, Exhibit 3, with the court's permission?
Okay.
Thank you. And can you enhance that just a little bit, please? Thank you so much. May I approach?
Yes.
Forgot to ask you, and I apologize, Ms. McKay.
Thank you.
One more point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please show the jurors where Brian and Nicole Albert's bedroom window is in that photograph?
Sure, it's right there.
Upper left window, uppermost left window, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. May I approach?
Yes.
Come.
Let me get back on track. You indicated that you looked out that storm door and saw Ms. Reed's vehicle, her SUV, directly in front of you, correct?
Yes.
That was the first time you noted or clocked that SUV being there?
First time, sorry.
The first time you noted the SUV, in other words, that you visually saw it, it was directly in front of you. It was not back by the mailbox, correct?
Correct.
Did you still see the Jeep parked back by the mailbox?
I looked out the window. I saw the car. I really didn't pay attention to details of other cars. I just looked and saw her car.
When you first looked out that window and saw, or looked out the door and saw the SUV, what time was that?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Does the time 2:23 a.m. sound familiar?
2:23?
I'm sorry, 12:23. My mistake.
I'm not sure.
When you looked out the door, did you see any other vehicles at that time, other than the Jeep, other than Ms. Reed's SUV?
I believe I saw lights. Lights like over here, somewhere. If the Jeep's there and the car, is there.
Okay. Can you describe for the record what you did? The theirs don't come across on the record.
Oh,
so
sorry.
To your left.
Yes.
Is
straight out would be Ms. Reed's vehicle that I looked at.
Okay.
I kind of looked at that. I remember my peripheral vision seeing lights over there. To the left, sorry.
All right, so the way that you're describing this, and that's lights to a vehicle, correct?
Yes.
Matter of fact, you know what vehicle that is?
I do, yes.
What vehicle is it? Describe it for the jurors, please.
It's Ryan Nagel's.
Ryan Nagel's what? Truck?
I believe he has a truck.
Okay. So what you're describing is you looked out the window, you saw Ms. Reed's SUV directly in front of you. Right behind that, in line, was Brian Higgins' Jeep, and behind that was Ryan Nagel's truck. Is that right?
I'm not sure where his truck lines up. I just remember seeing lights. I just quickly went, saw Ms. Reed's car, and went back into the room. I wasn't, I apologize, paying attention for like specific details about cars.
At some point, you did become interested in exactly what time Ryan Nagel's truck arrived, correct? This is after the fact, well after the fact, months after the fact.
Yes, I did.
As a matter of fact, you took it upon yourself to ask Julie Nagel, Ryan's sister, to send you something, correct?
Yes, I did.
What did you ask her to send you?
I ran into the two of them.
I didn't ask you who you ran into, just what did you ask her to send you?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. A text message.
A screenshot of a text message?
Yes, a screenshot of a text message between Julie and Ryan Nagel.
You knew at the time that Ms. Nagel, very obviously, was a percipient witness in this case, correct?
I believe so. It was very early on.
Well, I mean, she was in the house, Ms.
Yes.
Reed. She was in the house when Ms. Reed's vehicle appeared, correct?
Correct.
She was in the house when you were looking at the vehicle.
Correct.
She was in the house when everybody came home from came to 34 Therapy from the Waterfall Bar and Grill, correct?
Correct.
She was interacting with inside the house at the very time we're talking about, right?
Yes.
She went outside at some point to talk to her brother outside the house right behind the SUV that you're describing as Ms. Reed's SUV, correct?
Yes.
So you knew that she was, and you knew all this when you asked her for that screenshot.
I was trying to piece together.
You
the
knew
time.
All this when you asked for the screenshot.
Yes.
You knew what her position was in this case, correct?
She had no involvement. What happened outside
is different. I didn't ask you if
different.
She had involvement.
Objection. Let her finish her answer.
Go ahead.
Ms. McCabe, okay. Finish that answer.
I didn't. What happened outside was separate from anything that happened inside.
I'm going to ask you again. You knew all of that information. That she was, Julie Nagel was a percipient witness in this case, as was everyone else inside 34 Fairview, when you asked for that screenshot, correct?
Yes.
That is another example of you coordinating information with other witnesses in this case, correct?
No, that is not correct.
You were advised, were you ever advised by Michael Proctor not to coordinate information with other witnesses in the case? Did he ever say, don't do that?
I don't recall.
So you don't recall, or he didn't?
I don't recall if he did or not.
Okay. If he did tell you not to coordinate with other witnesses, this would be a breach of that agreement, wouldn't it?
Objection.
Sustained.
Indeed, once you got that screenshot, we'll talk about that in just a second, when you got the screenshot, did you ever share that with law enforcement?
I'm not sure if I did or not.
You never provided that to Michael Proctor or any other investigator, did you?
I'm not sure if I did or not.
As a matter of fact, Ms. McCabe, the only reason we know about that screenshot is because of the extraction on your phone. Isn't that right?
If that's how you know about it, I'm not sure.
You asked for that screenshot for your own personal use, for your own personal information, for your own personal coordination, correct, of what happened that night?
That's, what are you asking? There's three questions there.
Did you ask for that screenshot for your own personal use?
Yes.
And indeed, you do know what time it was that you looked out and saw Ryan Nagel's truck, because the screenshot told you that, correct?
The screenshot told me when Ryan Nagel pulled up. It didn't tell when I saw.
And what was the time when Ryan Nagel indicated that he pulled up?
I'd have to look at the screenshot.
2:23 a.m. 12:23 a.m. Sound right?
If you have it and that's what it says, absolutely.
May I approach?
Yes.
May I hear him?
Okay.
Take a look at that transcript, that call. You can read that to yourself, the highlighted portion to yourself.
I'd like to be heard.
All right, why don't you come to counsel? Why don't you counsel come to staff?
Good Yes.
Thank you. May I approach?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take a look at the highlighted portion and tell me if that refreshes your recollection about anything we've been discussing.
Is the page available before
this? I'm sorry,
this?
Just a yes or no. Does that refresh your recollection about anything that we've been discussing?
It's just what we've discussed. It doesn't really refresh.
Okay. So it does not refresh her memory. Next question.
I don't think that's what she said.
Is that, that's what you
Yes, said? That's what I said.
That was her answer.
That does not refresh your recollection?
Objection.
Asked. That was her answer. Next question, Mr. Jackson.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
Take a look at the bottom of that page and tell me if that refreshes your recollection about anything we were just discussing. May I?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. McCabe, having seen these, does this refresh your recollection about what we were just discussing concerning that conversation?
Regarding me asking Julie Nagel for the time?
Correct.
Yes, it does.
Okay. And what time did that... That was attendant to a screenshot that you asked for, correct?
Yes.
And that time was what?
Objection.
Do you remember the time?
Can I look at the paper? I was reading everything. I didn't
look
at the exact
time. So the question is whether you remember the time.
Oh, do I remember it? I don't remember the exact time, but I can read it off the paper. That's different than a memory.
That's different. Next question.
So this does not reflect your recollection as to the time that was reflected on that screenshot.
I can read the time, but in my memory.
Not my question. I have to do it this way.
Okay, sorry.
Does it refresh your recollection as you sit here, having read this, as to the time that was reflected on that screenshot?
Sitting here today, the only reason I know there's a time is because of what's on that paper.
But you did ask for a screenshot from Ms. Nagel, correct?
Yes, I did.
And that screenshot said something to the effect of outside. Is that right?
Okay. What's wrong?
Just that question. The screenshot said something about outside.
Is that right?
I believe it said here, yes.
Or maybe it's
yes,
here.
Yes, something similar.
It was, it was a screenshot from Ryan Nagel to Julie Nagel indicating that he had arrived.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. It was a screenshot of a text message from Ryan Nagel to Julie Nagel saying, I've arrived. In other
yes.
words, I've arrived at 34 Fairview.
Yes, it was.
Because he was intending to give her a ride home, which he had asked for. Is that right?
Objection.
Sustained.
You did see Julie Nagel go outside and approach the vehicle, correct?
I never saw her go near the vehicle. I saw her go outside.
Got it. Did she ultimately come back indoors?
Yes.
Did she come back in with anybody else?
No.
About what time would you estimate that to have been in the course of that evening?
When she came back inside?
When she walked out and then came back inside.
Soon after she went out, she talked to her brother, she came back inside.
And about what time of day was that? If you know.
I mean, this was all happening while we were at my sister's house.
Right. Was it 12:15, 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock?
Well, according to that paper, it would have had to
That's not what I'm asking.
Not according to the
Do you have an independent recollection of about, if not down to the minute, about what time that was?
I could say I'd have to be... I wasn't looking at my watch that night, so it's very hard for me to give a time just off of my memory. I know what I've seen, but...
Okay.
It's hard.
You did see both Ryan Nagel's truck and Ms. Reed's SUV in front of the house at the same time, correct?
I saw his lights in my peripheral vision on the left.
But mm-hmm. the lights are attached to what?
The car, but it wasn't out front. Ms. Reed's vehicle was out front.
Right. When I say in front of 34 Fairview, we're mm-hmm. going to talk about the spacing in just a second. I just meant out in front of the house.
Correct? Yes, over to the side, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're indicating that, and I want to be clear about this, mm-hmm. as you're looking out that storm door window, mm-hmm. going from right to left, it was Ms. Reed's vehicle, correct?
Yes.
Then Higgins's Jeep, is that right?
His Jeep was in front of the mailbox.
Then behind that, was there a space? And then Mr. Nagel's truck? Or was the truck right behind the Jeep?
That's what I can't tell you. I just remember seeing lights. I didn't look over and pay much attention to it. I was just quickly looking at the Miss Reed's car, and then I went back and sat down.
Do you recall testifying at a prior hearing that it was, your perception was Miss Reed's car, her SUV, the Jeep,
mm-hmm.
a space, and then Mr. Nagel's truck from right to left?
I remember Mr. Nagel's truck over to the left in my peripheral vision. I can't give you an exact location.
But there's no question in your mind as you sit here that Brian Higgins' Jeep was between Brian Nagel's truck and Miss Reed's SUV. You remember that very clearly, correct?
I know that this Miss Reed's vehicle was here, and there were lights in my peripheral vision over here. Okay. I wasn't, okay. I just was looking quickly.
So let me ask you the question again.
Okay.
Assuming that the lights are attached to something, mm-hmm. Brian Nagel's truck, we've already established that.
Mm-hmm.
What you're looking at, when you look out the storm door window, is Miss Reed's truck,
mm-hmm.
or SUV rather. So just behind that is left, as you're looking at it, Mr. Higgins' Jeep, correct? And behind that, is Mr. Nagel's truck. You remember the Jeep being between the truck and the SUV.
I remember looking out the window. It was dark. I remember seeing lights over to the left. That is what I remember.
Where was the Jeep as it relates to the lights?
I'm assuming the Jeep was still parked at the mailbox.
You saw it there. I mean, it's a 5,000-pound Jeep, right?
It was dark. I wasn't studying outside. It was a quick thing I did. I looked. I saw it. I went back to the table.
Okay. And I'm asking for what the saw it part was. Let's just slow down on the saw it part.
Okay.
You looked and you saw Brian Nagel's truck, then you saw Higgins' Jeep, then you saw Miss Reed's SUV, correct?
I saw Miss Reed's SUV parked straight out front, and in my peripheral vision, I saw lights that, yes, must have been attached to a truck, but I didn't study the lineup of cars. I'm sorry.
All right, so...
Can I have one more question?
One more question.
Where was the Jeep? Was it in front of the SUV, behind Mr. Nagel's truck, or was it between the two of them? It's a simple question.
You're asking what I saw when I looked outside. I didn't... And I'm telling you exactly what I saw. It was dark. It was Karen's car there, and in my peripheral vision, I saw lights, and then I went back to the table.
Okay, that's the last question. We're going to break for lunch.
Very well.
All right, jurors, we'll take our lunch in the recess. And Ms. McCabe, you can follow up right behind the jurors, and we'll see you up here in 45 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Jurors, right this way.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Court is in session. Please be seated.
All right. Can we have Ms. McKay back, please?
Your Honor, while she's coming in, maybe we can close that door.
Okay. All right. Sorry about the delay, jurors. We told that we blew a fuse, and that's why we couldn't get started on time. So these old courthouses. So... All right, we appreciate your patience. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. McCabe, when you first saw Ms. Reed's SUV pull up, very shortly thereafter, you sent a text to John O'Keefe, correct?
I walked to the door, saw the car, and that's when I sent him a text, yes.
Right, so you walked up to the door, saw the SUV outside, and then texted him something at that, basically while you're standing at the door?
I believe so, yes.
What did you text him?
Here.
Okay. Do you remember the time?
I don't know.
Would it refresh your recollection if you were to look at a series of text messages contained in a Cellebrite report? I think you've seen this before.
Sure.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May I ask one foundational question before I give this to the witness? Ms. McCabe, I'm going to ask you about a series of text messages. It's not a memory contest in terms of the timing. I'm going to ask you about probably five or so. All of those purport to be contained in here. Do you remember the times of those five texts?
I don't off the top of my head.
Do you think it would refresh your recollection to look at all those in one fell swoop as you look at this document? So I don't have to go back and forth?
Okay. Are these in evidence?
This is not in evidence, to my knowledge. Not yet.
Would it help you to remember?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you bring it to Ms. McCabe?
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is just my sake. This one was. Yeah, I think that I just think it's so much to do. I might turn to that as well.
Ms. McCabe, if you wouldn't mind, take a look at the tabs, not that whole document.
Okay.
2 days. Take a look at the tabs and go in reverse chronological order and see if that refreshes your recollection about the time and content of text messages that you sent to Mr. O'Keefe those early that early morning of January 29th.
Okay. Yes.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm not going to have to remember the exact times of all five, am I?
I'll help.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. McCabe, did you see a text on here that was consistent with your memory that you texted here?
Yes.
And was that at 12:27 a.m.?
I don't know exactly. I'm assuming if it's on that paper.
If I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
Why don't I see counsel at sidebar for just a minute? Ms. McCabe, we're going to make it a little easier for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
May I?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would offer the following stipulation. At 12:14:27 on January 29th, 2022, text message from Jen McCabe text message from John O'Keefe's phone to Jen McCabe's phone, where to? At 12:27, all these are on January 29th, 2022, at 12:27:33, from Jennifer McCabe's phone to John O'Keefe's phone, here, !!! Same date, 12:31:47, from Jen McCabe's phone to John O'Keefe's phone, pull behind me. Same date, 12:40:31, from Jen McCabe's phone to John O'Keefe's phone, hello. 12:42:09, text message from Jennifer McCabe's phone to John O'Keefe's phone, where are the letter U?
Okay, thank you.
Finally, 12:45:53, from Jen McCabe's phone to John O'Keefe's phone, hello. I would offer the stipulation that those are correct times and dates and contents of the text messages between John O'Keefe's phone and Jen McCabe's phone on January 29th, 2022.
All right, and that's what you're agreeing to, Mr. Brennan?
Yes, Your Honor, it's contained in the Celebrite report.
Okay. All right, folks, so I told you yesterday about a stipulation when I talked about something in the front lawn. This is similar. So what you just heard, both lawyers agree that that's information contained in a Celebrite report.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I continue?
Yes.
At some point, you indicated that, and by the way, Ms. McCabe, at 12:27, it's now been stipulated to, you texted a single word, here, !!! Correct?
Yes.
Okay. You indicate that you saw the SUV move up after it was in front of the 34 Fairview residence. It moved up some number of feet, correct?
The next time I looked, it was at a different location.
Right. Now, you did not see the white Jeep move from the place that you originally saw it in front of the mailbox, correct?
I never looked at, out at the white Jeep.
But you never saw that move, ever?
No.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Higgins, that Jeep was in the same spot while Mr. Higgins was inside the residence until he left, correct?
That's what I would assume, yes.
Okay. And you never saw him go out and move his car and come back in or anything like that?
I never did, no.
After you, it's fair to say that once you noted that the SUV, Ms. Reed's SUV, was in front of the location, you started paying some attention to it.
I went to the door a few times to look out, yes.
As a matter of fact, in the course of about 19 minutes, you went to the door no fewer than five times, correct?
I'm not sure if it was five.
You've indicated in previously that for every time you went to the door and saw the SUV, you texted something, which are the texts contained in the document that was just stipulated to. Is that right?
I did text five times. You are correct.
Okay. So it's fair to say if you texted five times, then you went to the door five times, if those were associated with one another. You walked up, look out the door, see the SUV, and text something. Here, pull behind me, where are you? Those texts, correct?
I remember going to the front door, seeing the car, and texting here. When I went to the door the second time, the car had moved up towards the flagpole, and I texted, pull behind me, because I thought, did they not know where to park? Did they think they were at the wrong house?
So my question is this. Every time you went to the door, you texted something?
I'm not sure that I did, yes.
Do you remember
I'm not sure that I did, sorry.
Do you remember a year ago testifying that every single time you texted, you indicated that you looked out in the at the SUV and saw something that prompted you to text something?
Am I aware that I said that?
Correct. That you testified to that.
Could you show that to me, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Take a look at the highlighted
sure.
portion and just read that to yourself. Let me know when you're finished.
Okay.
May I?
Yes.
Ms. McCabe, does that refresh your recollection about the issue we were just talking about?
I see what's written down, yes.
Okay, did you testify in answer to the following question? And as a matter of fact, you looked every single time that you texted, you indicated that you looked out at the SUV and saw something that prompted you to text something, correct? Answer, correct.
I answered correct to that,
okay.
Yes.
So if you looked out, I'm sorry, if you texted five times, that's all I'm getting to, you mm-hmm. went to the door about five times.
I'm not sure. I remember definitely going twice. And again, if I misstated or I said I went five times, four times, I apologize.
Well, do you think this testimony is an error?
No, I don't. I'm thinking with my memory, it was 3 years ago, and I'm thinking that maybe I wasn't clear on that detail of how many times that I went to the door.
And
what I can tell you I'm clear on is that I did go twice, and I saw it. I saw it straight ahead. I saw it at the flagpole, and a third time further up. I cannot say with certainty with my memory today that I was up at that door every single time. I'm sorry.
And then, and by the way, when you testified, as you just saw, mm-hmm. that was a year ago, correct? A year earlier and a year closer to the event, correct?
Yes, it
so
was.
Your memory would have been a little bit fresher then than it is now, a year later.
I don't think I can compare my memory then to now.
You can't compare your memory? Do you think your memory gets better with time or fades a little with time?
Well, some things, unfortunately, I think about every single day with this case, the trauma of
sure.
it and what I experienced and went through. And there are some things that I am certain I will never forget. And I know for sure where the car was, and I know for sure I sent those two texts. But I apologize if I misstated I went out more than I did. I'm just trying to give you what I remember today.
Let's talk about those texts and the mm-hmm. and you looking out the door. You did approach the door and you saw that the vehicle was there the initial time, correct? That's one.
When I texted here, yes.
And you texted here, !!! Is that right?
Correct.
And you indicated that when you first saw the vehicle, it was straight out ahead of you in the front of the front door, and it was stationary. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Then you said you went back to the door and you saw that it had moved up, quote, a little bit. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Toward the flagpole. Is that right?
Is that the flagpole? Yes.
And when you saw that it had moved up toward the flagpole, then you texted again at 12:40, which has been stipulated to hello. Is that right?
When I saw it move up to the flagpole, I believe I texted pull behind me.
When you went the second time, and by the way, it's my mistake. I got the I jumped over one. It was 12:31:47, which we stipulated to pull behind me. That's when the SUV was up closer to the flagpole. Correct?
I believe so. Yes.
Then you went yet again at 12:40 and saw the SUV yet again and texted hello. It was the second hello.
I'm not sure if that was when I texted hello.
But you did see that the SUV had moved again.
Yes.
Now where was it?
At first it was straight ahead, then it was at the flagpole, and then it was further up.
Then at 12:42, 2 minutes later, you mm-hmm. texted where are you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. At that point, it was still up by the flagpole?
No, I'm not saying that it was still outside.
Where was it?
I'm not sure where the vehicle was.
At 12:45, you texted yet again, hello. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
You've indicated you texted hello the last time you saw the vehicle. Is that right?
I'm not saying that today, no.
Well, did you say it previously?
In my testimony, did I say that the last time I texted? Do you have that written that I could see?
You just read it.
Well, that was your question that you had read to me. I never came out and said that.
Ms. McCabe, I asked you if you testified to that a year ago. That's my question. Did you testify to that a year ago that when you went, every single time you went to the door, you texted something because seeing the vehicle prompted you to text something to John?
That's a summary of maybe the...
Did you testify to that a year ago?
To what? That when I went to the door? Yeah, different times when I went to the door, I did text, yes.
And then you testified as well that you went to the door a final time and saw that the SUV was gone. It had left, correct?
Yes, at one point I did.
Okay. And that was just a couple of minutes after your last text at 12:45, is that right?
I'm not sure of the time.
As a matter of fact, you've testified previously that it was around 12:50 that you last went to the door and noted that the car was completely gone. Is that right?
I'm not sure of that.
You're not sure of that?
No, if you could show me, I'd appreciate it.
At some point, did you note that the vehicle was gone? Let's get to that.
Yes.
Around what time was that?
I do not know.
12:45, a little before, a little after?
I'm not sure. I can't give a time.
Would it refresh your recollection to look at how you testified to that particular time last year?
Sure.
May I?
Yes.
Thank you. The highlighted portion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ms. McKay, does that refresh your recollection as to what time last year you indicated that you went to the door and saw that the SUV was gone?
It says on the paper that I was asked if after 12:45 it was gone, and I answered correct.
Okay.
I never gave a time.
All right. And that coincides with the last hello that you texted to John's phone, correct?
Again, I don't have that paper in front of me. Is that the
time?
Well,
that's the stipulation. That's what you don't need to worry about. Okay. That's been stipulated to your last hello text was at 12:45.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So that coincides, that testimony from last year coincides with your last text message saying, hello, you noted that the SUV at that point had gone, had left, correct?
Correct.
So if I hear your testimony correctly, you saw the SUV in position one.
Yes.
There was a text or something, or two maybe. Then you saw it in position two. You went back to the door and noted that SUV had moved and it was now closer to the flagpole, correct?
Well, you've just asked two questions.
It had moved closer to the flagpole.
The first question is you said I saw it and I sent a text or two. I know I just said one here.
Okay. Then you saw it a second time.
Correct.
And now it's closer to the flagpole.
Yes, correct.
And there's texting going on. I'm not getting down to the minute of the text, but there's texting going on. You're sending texts.
I'm sending, yes.
Okay. Then you went back to the door a third time and saw that it had moved beyond the flagpole, correct?
Correct.
Then, according to your testimony last year, you went back to the door at least a fourth time to see that it was gone, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so at bare minimum, based on your testimony today, you were at the door looking out the window at that portion of either the yard directly in front of you, and in front of the house, or toward the flagpole, or beyond the flagpole, four times, correct?
From last year's testimony, but what I remember today
with certainty is twice.
You need to let her answer the question. Answer your question, please.
Go ahead.
Okay. What I remember certainty is looking at it out front at the flagpole and beyond. I don't remember how many times I went up to the door. I was back and forth.
Right. But according to you, you saw the car in three different positions, correct?
Correct.
So that's at least three times through the door, correct?
Correct.
And you saw the car gone, right?
Correct.
3 + 1 is 4, correct?
Correct.
So now you're telling us that you went to the door a minimum of 4 times and looked across that yard at the SUV, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You had a clear view of that SUV as you looked out that storm door every time you went to the door, didn't you?
It was dark and snowing, but I could see a vehicle out there, yes.
As a matter of fact, you've indicated that it was a clear view. There was nothing obstructing your vision, correct?
No, there was nothing but the weather conditions.
And you indicated that, and by the way, the blizzard had basically just started. There was a dusting on the ground.
It was snowing. It was accumulating.
Right. Yeah. But it was early. Early in the storm.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right. And when asked about whether or not you had a view, well, let me ask it a different way. In terms of your view of the SUV and the distance from the storm door to the SUV to that curb line, there was nothing obstructing your view. You had a clear view of that, a good view of the SUV, correct?
When I looked out the window, I could see the SUV in front of me, yes.
At no time during any of this interaction with the door, meaning going back and forth through the storm door, texting, looking outside, seeing the SUV in position one, seeing the SUV in position two, seeing the SUV in position three, at no time did you hear any noise that was unusual, did you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't hear any screaming?
No.
You didn't hear any yelling?
No.
No loud voices?
No.
No foul language?
No.
You didn't hear a door slam?
No.
You didn't hear a verbal argument or a fight of any kind?
No.
You didn't hear a revving engine?
No.
You didn't hear the squealing of tires or the scraping of tires on the pavement?
No.
You didn't hear a collision take place?
No.
Or a crash?
No.
Or screams for help?
No.
Moaning, groaning, as if someone was in distress?
No.
As you looked at the SUV the first time, you've already indicated that you had a clear view straight out the door, right? It's right in front of the front door as a crow flies, right? It's not at an angle.
Right there, correct.
Okay. You also previously indicated that you saw tire tracks in the roadway.
Yes.
In that very, very light dusting of snow, the accumulation that you talked about, you saw tire tracks of some sort.
Yes.
So that's down on the ground, beyond the yard, somewhere in the roadway.
In the street, correct.
You had a good view of those tire tracks as well, correct?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you were able to describe those as sort of a almost a wave, I think you once said.
Yeah, across the street. I could see it because of the street light that was across the street.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that presented at least enough illumination based on your view. You could see the tire tracks in the snow.
Yes. Over to the left. Yes.
And you've detailed not just the shape of those tire tracks as being sort of like a wave, but where those tire tracks were. Correct?
No, right with this. Yeah.
Where did you see them?
I believe over to the left, if I'm looking out straight. Oh, sorry. That's straight.
So if you're looking outside at the SUV, I'm just going to turn my back to the jurors for a second mm-hmm. for perspective. If you're looking outside the door, when you say straight out, the SUV is straight outside, when you say to the left, you mean to the left of the SUV on the ground, that's where you saw the tire track.
Yes.
Like somebody might parallel park or something.
Kind of a wave, yeah. I can't really explain what it was. I just saw it.
You weren't paying special attention. You weren't looking for tire tracks, were you?
No, when I glanced out, I saw it.
You weren't looking for anything in the roadway at that point. You just glanced out. It was something in your peripheral vision, and you made note of it.
Yes.
And the only thing between you and the SUV as you looked out was the lawn.
Correct.
There's no ditches or hills in that lawn. It's a flat lawn, correct?
I wasn't looking at the ground. I was just kind of looking like I am at you.
That's
right now,
question.
Straight.
You know that lawn. You've been in that house 100 times, 500 times. There's no ditches or berms or hills or mountains on that lawn. It's just a flat lawn, right?
I guess you could categorize it as flat, yeah.
Can we take a look? May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
If you really do approach, I'm happy to. Okay. Can you take a look at that photograph for a quick second and tell me if you recognize it?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that as being?
34 Fairview.
That's the same photograph with just a little modification on it that you saw a few minutes ago?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would ask that that be marked as identification.
Okay.
Permission to publish?
Not for identification, no.
I'm happy to move it into evidence.
Your Honor, if I may, if it's marked for identification, I wouldn't object to showing it.
Okay. All right.
It's a chalk at this point.
Okay.
May I publish?
Yes.
Thank you.
Exhibit H for identification.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
There you go. Mr. Wolf, can you make that? There you go. Thank you. What's depicted in that photograph?
34 Fairview.
Do you see the front door that you went in?
I do, yes.
Can you point it out for the jurors, please?
Sure. Right there.
Okay. The one with the brick steps leading up to it.
Yes.
Now, with this perspective, can you point out the side door?
Sure.
That looks like a screen door just to the right of the hedges?
Yes.
With that perspective, can you point out the garage door?
Or that one, sorry.
That's just to the right of the window inside that recess of the home?
Yes.
Okay. And does that fairly and accurately depict the lawn as it was on January 28th, 29th, other than the fact that it's different weather,
right?
The shape of the lawn?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Put that down, Mr. Wolf.
So what was that marked as, Madam Court Reporter? Thank you.
Your Honor, I would ask to move that in evidence. If we need to take a minute on that, I'm happy to, but that is my request.
Is there an issue?
No, I won't object.
Okay.
46.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
The first time you looked out over that lawn to the SUV, you did not see John O'Keefe, did you?
No, I did not.
He was not outside that SUV?
No.
He was not standing or sitting?
Not that I saw.
He certainly wasn't on the ground, was he?
Not that I saw.
The second time you looked out and saw the SUV, now the SUV is more toward the flagpole, correct?
Yes.
And you had a clear field of view between you standing at that door and the SUV. You've already described that view, correct?
I can see the SUV, correct.
Correct. And you could see everything in front of the SUV as well, couldn't you?
I just would go to the door and look at the SUV. I wasn't taking in all the surroundings.
But just like you weren't taking in the surroundings specifically looking for tire tracks, we saw the SUV standing or sitting right in front of you, you saw the through your peripheral vision, you know, the tire track.
Yes, and that's lighted where around the SUV it was very dark.
I haven't asked you about lighting yet. We'll get to that.
I'm sorry.
Tire tracks, even though you weren't looking for tire tracks, right?
Yes, I did.
Something stood out to you in your peripheral vision. Just looking out, and there they are.
Yes, absolutely.
That second time you looked directly at the SUV with no obstruction between you and the SUV, you did not see John O'Keefe standing outside the SUV?
No.
He wasn't sitting down?
No.
He wasn't lying down?
No.
You certainly did not see his body in the snow toward that flagpole?
No.
And you would have been looking directly toward that flagpole, correct? Directly.
I was looking at the vehicle.
Directly toward the flagpole, Ms. McCabe.
I was looking in the direction of the flagpole.
Right.
At the vehicle, yes.
Right. And you saw no body in the snow, did you?
I didn't look for a body in the snow.
I didn't ask you if you looked for one. You weren't looking for tire tracks either, were you? But you saw those.
I did see those, yes.
And you did not see a body in the snow?
No, I did not.
John O'Keefe, 6'2", 216 pounds, brawny guy, big boy, right?
I don't think I'd refer to him as a big boy, but he was tall, yes.
All right. You certainly didn't see him prostrate in the snow the way you found him the next morning, correct? Later that morning.
I didn't see anything on the ground, no.
Correct. The third time you looked out toward that SUV, it's still in the direction of the flagpole, but a little further up, a little deeper to the right, correct?
Yes.
Again, looking directly in the direction, at least, of the flagpole and that area of the yard, you were looking beyond that to the SUV, correct?
Yes.
You did not see John O'Keefe standing outside the vehicle?
I did not, no.
He was not sitting outside the vehicle?
No.
And he certainly wasn't lying on the ground, was he?
I didn't see him.
And the last time you looked out, Ms. McCabe, this is now 12:45 or so, the last time you looked out, the SUV was gone. Is that right?
Yes.
But you were still looking in that direction because that's the last place you saw the SUV. Is that right?
I looked out the window like this. I wasn't searching anywhere, but just glanced out the window, and I didn't see it.
I'm just asking you a direction, not whether or not you were searching. I know you didn't send out a search party. That's not my question. My question is, were you looking toward the area where you last saw the SUV around 12:45 a.m.?
Yes.
That would be directly across the lawn, directly past the flagpole, and directly into the street where you last saw the SUV, correct?
I glanced out, yes, correct.
And the same way you glanced out at the SUV, to use your words, glanced out and saw the tire tracks, right?
Correct, yes.
But you did not see John O'Keefe standing on the lawn?
No.
You did not see him sitting on the lawn?
No.
And you certainly did not see his body lying on the lawn, did you?
No, I did not.
ultimately, you left the location that night, the gathering, at 34 Fairview. Is that right? You didn't spend the night there?
No, I went home.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.